Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. I'm also the author of Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, a lesbian, an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. And I know we were chit-chatting a little bit before the show, and, you know, my little mantra is make life happen. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people are complaining things aren't going their way and they're not liking this and that and the other thing. Well, all we can do is make something else happen. You know,
yep.
be positive and try to move your life forward, because you and I both know when you're negative, the world believes in the law of attraction. If you say everything sucks, there's no work, my job sucks, there's no good men, well, God will just bring you sucky stuff because that's what you believe to be true. So
yep.
We have to say the world is abundant, the world is a good place, and the world becomes a better place. It's really shifting mindset. I know you've been really good at that. You've been shifting your mindset.
I've been shifting a lot of stuff, and I've been very, very good. You know, I mean, I've been putting certain things into motion, and, you know, although, you know, I'm meeting, some resistance on some of the things I'm putting into motion, I'm overcoming all of the resistance there, you know, and I'm just keeping my head, you know, in the game. And I was telling you about this, you know, earlier, you know, when we were talking about our dream activity. Like, I've been lucid dreaming all week, and I think that's why I've been exhausted in my waking state all week, because I've been having such an active lucid dream state. You know, so I think that has a lot to do with it, you know, and a lot of what I'm dreaming about is, like, you know, is life. It is what is happening, you know, to me now, and it's directly related to there. It's not really a whole lot of fantastic stuff. I literally wake up sometimes going, wow, I got to live this day again, you know, and things of that nature. But you do have to make that mind shift, and you do have to realize that there's nothing wrong with change as long as you're going into the right direction when you do it, you know, and you know, if life isn't what you want it to be, you have to make changes. But it's not enough just to make the change. You have to embrace the change. You know, you can't just change for the sake of changing. You got to know why you're changing, and then you got to embrace it, you know. And I don't know. I guess it's a consciousness, and change is a conscious effort, and it doesn't come easy.
And again, you know, humans by nature are very negative. The mindset of human consciousness after World War II became negative. It just 60 million people died in a 4-year period. They didn't believe anybody was there to help them. They didn't believe in much. And so those negative thoughts just come just naturally. They come from, you know, the collective thinking of mankind. And to program positive thoughts is what we have to do. It takes a little time. It's not overnight. But it really, really does work. I mean, it's the glass half full or half empty. I mean, you can help make it look more half full. And it's, again, we're going to be in this life. We're going to be here. You're either going to fight it or you're going to accept it. But, you know, and again, we were talking before the show about people having to do things they don't want to do. I mean, it's like, I mean, I fight this all the time with people. Sorry, you don't want to do something, but you have to do sometimes what you don't want to do. And it's part of life. And the more we fight that, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the day we don't want to do. And, you know, even with jobs, people, you know, complain, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do this. Well, if you know, until you find something better, try to cooperate within that system you're working. Otherwise, you're just going to make it even worse than it is. Because, you know, you're going to land on a cross in an office or a place like that if you're fighting it too hard.
No, well, you know what, Cindy? It's also like you know, if you picture, you know, like a ballerina, you know, twirling, you know, those ballerinas are wisping through the air and, you know, they're spotting, which means that they're looking at one fixed space so as not to throw them off kilter. You know, people tend to do the same thing, too. They don't want to be thrown off kilter, so they keep looking at that same spot. They keep looking at the same thing. The only problem there is that if you're always looking for and at the same thing in the same way and in the same spot, yes, you're going to be steady and you're always going to find that spot, but then you're going to miss all the other things around you that could be approaching you if you would just let yourself become off kilter every so often. You know, if you didn't have to, you know, always look at that one particular thing to keep yourself steady, to keep yourself balanced. And a lot of times that thing that we spot is going to be the negative. It's going to be, you know, the distress that you have. It's going to be the worry that you have. And, you know, I said this a couple weeks ago. Worrying is about as effective as sitting in a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but you're not going to get very far in it. You know, so that's what you're going to keep looking at. And that ultimately is what's going to stop you from going over those humps and from getting over that stuff.
Right. And you just have, you know, and it's like you're saying, focus on more positive. I mean, what happens is if you get lost in your own headset of negative, you won't even enjoy a beautiful day like today. You won't even just go out there and say, well, I'm going to sit for 10 minutes and enjoy this beautiful day with no thoughts of worry, nothing. Just enjoy that 10 minutes. They can't. They can't shut off their minds, the monkey mind that Buddha talked about, that you just keep being tormented by the circle of thoughts that goes nowhere. So it's, you know, it's okay if you enjoy 10 minutes in a day. And, you know, so much what's hard about my job is, you know, people's lives change. They get something. They're not happy. They're mad at God. They want it to go better. They want this. Again, sometimes we're just bitching and screaming so much. God will give us anything, a Band-Aid on a carcinoma. Just to, okay, shut up now. Here's something. This is a job. It's not the one you wanted, but, you know, it'll get you to the next step because people are so, you know, busy being negative, and it really is a contagious emotion. And we stress being positive here. It really does make a difference. The universe hears it. It hears when you're being positive. It hears when you're saying those positive things. So we're going to try to get people to be a little bit more positive. I mean, the only reason I bring this up is I get about 700 emails a day, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
And I do read them all, okay? And in one day I may get 500. I had it. I hate this. This is bad. This job sucks. I can't take it. I can't stand it. And what am I supposed to say to those emails? I don't know what to
There's
say
nothing.
To them.
And there's
I keep
you really
stressing
that
if you don't change your mind, if you don't change your thoughts to stop saying everything sucks, everything's miserable, everything's life is hard. There is no doubt about that. Life is hard for everybody. But those people who decide to make it a more positive experience, we're here through the duration. You can choose to go through it kicking and screaming and hating it, or you can choose to let's make the best of what's in front of us. And you'd be surprised when you do that. Doors open, the world changes, and, you know, I've seen it change on a dime when I've changed my mindset, and I always stress to people I was not a very positive person for a lot of my life. I know what that mindset is, but I also know the longer I stayed stuck in that, it was never going to change. When I changed my mind and I changed my thoughts and I stopped playing victim, my life changed, and that's what I keep saying. As long as you're playing victim to an economy, to a world, to people, nothing changes. So we're going to give up some of that victim consciousness and be the master of our destiny. And it works.
Absolutely.
So I know
it does.
We have a lot of callers, and I promised Susan, who is a 516570 number, that I would put her through today because she's very good and emailed me today saying, oh, I'd like to, you know, speak tonight on the radio. So if you do that, we try to put you through. So
absolutely. All right, so as usual, I don't screen the first caller, so we were just going to jump right into Susan.
Oh, hi.
Hello,
Susan. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad you jumped right in because I have to tell you, everything that you just said in the last 5 minutes rang true for me, and I was going, yeah, it's really working. It's true. You know, it's so true that you have to be conscious about language. When people say to me, I'm just dead in the water, I'm in a dead-end job, the food is to die for, I think, they better think about what they're saying.
Right,
all they're talking about is negativity, right?
And it's an easy mindset, and I'm not judging people who do it. I know I did it a lot of my life. And, you know, I just try to say, as long as you don't, you know, everything you do, this sucks, this job sucks, I moved and I hate this. You have to kind of say, well, I'm here, so I'm going to have to make the best of where I've landed right now and see if I can move myself out of it. And, you know, you're a very positive person. I know that with you. And it does make a difference. And I'm glad that you heard it and you're reinforcing that it changes. The world changes as we change our mind.
It's so true. And it's really, it really is the secret of life, that the more positive you are and the more, when you get a challenge, you think of it as a challenge, not as something that, you know, is dead in the water or something that's going to kill you. It really does change your perception. That being said, I'm usually very positive, but I've come across something going on in my life right now, which is filling me with anxiety. And it's, I have a family affair that I'm going to be attending at the end of August. And there's a lot of pressure on me, and I have a gentleman friend who I have dated for years, and I am bringing him to the wedding, but I'm very nervous and about the whole...
Okay, are you nervous
whole,
because
you know,
of judgment?
Judgment and all that. And I should probably say, who cares at this point?
No,
life,
and again,
but,
you're an older soul, and older souls want everybody to like them.
Yes.
So it's very hard for us to accept that that's our own brand of narcissism. That
okay.
We care if they like us, people who we don't particularly like, which is kind of funny when I mention it. Like, who cares? These people, I don't even like them. What do I care if they like me? But older souls by nature like humanity. They want people to like them, and they're not comfortable when people don't like them. They kind of feel like they're walking on eggshells. And being judged by people is not a very good feeling. You feel self-conscious. But this is a lesson in one of your strongest life lessons that we have to learn is to not fear judgment, to know that if this is a good man and he's been good to you and you love him and you should go in there with that feeling that you're happy. You know, family members are the worst, by the way. You know, a prophet is never recognized in his own country, by the way. I mean, people pay money to talk to me, okay? My parents never talked to me at all.
Aww.
Okay, and even at the end of their life, they could care less what I had to say. I mean, it's shocking to be in the outside world one way and then in your own family treated in another whole way. I don't think it's unusual, but it looks as if you're going to try to look your best that day, okay? And it's, looking your best is a few weeks in planning, okay?
Right.
I mean, you know, conditioning your hair,
it.
Getting, you know, getting your hair conditioned, doing your skin a little bit, you know, maybe working out a bit, you know, to look good in one day takes a while, you know? So try to look your best. But I'm actually seeing there are some people who may say things that you might not want to hear, and maybe you need to say, you know, very kindly, well, it's your opinion and kind of walk away or avoid these people. But you're actually having what's called anticipatory anxiety.
Yes.
Which is a hell of a lot worse than the actual event ever is, mind you.
Isn't that always the case, right?
Right. So what you're doing is dreading something that, you know, the worst thing that happens is, you know, they're not going to be very nice to you. You'll live. You know,
right.
What you're doing is making what's going to happen worse than what actually is. It's like dreading an interview is going to be so bad. So what if it is bad? It's not the end of the world. You don't get the job. So what? Why are you sweating it out or worrying about court for a month before and you're sick to your stomach? By the time you go there, you're going to fail in court because you're all nervous. This is a lesson in trying not to obsess about what you can't change, being as positive about you're going to have a wonderful time. Why don't you go there with a mindset you're going to have a wonderful time?
Right. I mean, that's something that I have to just have as a mantra and just keep repeating it to myself. Because as I said, I'm usually positive, but I'm being hit at this point with, you know, seeing people I haven't seen since my divorce. So it's which is a while ago.
Okay, and of course, they don't, you know, people always have something to say about, you know, your divorce or whatever. And sometimes we have to learn how to answer people who ask us questions that are none of their business.
Right.
I mean, narcissists never answer the question you ask them. I don't know if you've noticed. They dodge it. Well, right. We could learn from that. I mean, when people ask me, why are you getting a divorce? And, you know, I used to care what everybody would have to say. I was, you know, channeled to say this, am I a good person? And people would say, yeah, of course. And I said, I must have my reasons.
Oh, that's
And I
great.
Said nothing else, and nobody ever asked me another question.
Right. Well, sometimes I say to people, why are you asking me that?
And again, when you do that, that's almost defensive.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than be defensive, you just try to act like, you know, the question is like none of your business, but you kind
right.
of say it nicer and
mm-hmm.
better. You have to go in there looking like a winner. I mean, tonight my husband has to go to a wake for one of his aunts he liked very much. And, you know, he was hemming and hawing whether he should go, what are people going to say, you know, this, that, my relatives, this, and he's the same thing you're doing.
Right.
And I'm like, did you love your aunt? Go
That's
there.
All that matters. You're right.
And when people ask you questions that are none of their business, don't answer them.
Mm-hmm.
Ignore it. Walk away. But what do you care what people are going to say, judge, they're going to think you did good with your life, didn't do good. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And I know older souls by nature, they do care. It's part of what we're like. But nobody wants to be judged. Nobody wants to be crucified, okay? And
mm-hmm.
family can crucify.
Right.
But are you proud of the man you're with?
Yes.
Okay. And are you happy with him?
For the most part. That's, you know, there are issues, but there's issues with anybody, you know, another human being. It's nothing is ever perfect.
Right. And
but to go
again,
by my, you know, he would be very insulted if I didn't take him. He's looking forward to it, and it's in California. It's, you know, it's.
And you're
going to
have a
yeah.
wonderful time with him.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, realizing that one of our karmic lessons to overcome the fear of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm by, you know, what I do for a living, psychic medium, people think we're all crooks. They throw darts. I mean, it's, you know, I don't even want to say it in public sometimes because I don't hear
mm-hmm.
how what crooks that we all are. I mean, it's not pleasant for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm uncomfortable with it sometimes and what people's judgment of who I am and what I'm doing. And I've had to learn to say, look, it is what it is at this point, you know, and all of us have things that people could judge that, you know, we're, you know, what we're doing, what we are, what we look like with this. But these are people, judgmental people make everybody uncomfortable, by the way.
It's true.
They make everybody. That's why Jesus said, why can you, see, you know, you see the, you know, the splinter in your neighbor's eye, but you can't see the boulder in your own.
Mm.
Judgmental
My aunt
people.
Used to say the camel doesn't see its own hump.
Exactly. And you have to understand that narcissistic people are very judgmental. They make us very uncomfortable. You know, even as a psychic, if you're going to be really judgmental of what I'm doing and test it, you're not going to get a very good reading because you're going to hook my ego instead of going beyond that. So it's, you know, I was a professional entertainer, and I would do as many as 7 shows in a day, and they were live performances. Only, you know, in rooms, not far from people. So I would be, you know, there being judged, and I would hear in one day, she's too pretty, she's too ugly, her boobs are too big, they're too small, she's too smart, she's too stupid, she's too young, she's too old, in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I said, it can't be about me, can it? I can't be too fat or too thin in one day.
Right.
I learned it was a judgment of them more than me. And I learned to let it go. But the women who worked for me, like they would have to go into a party of Cinderella or something, the young girls would quit right away because they couldn't stand to hear people criticize them. Right when they were sitting there, as an entertainer, you're easy target for criticism. They
mm-hmm.
couldn't get over it. And I think one of the best things for achieving enlightenment for me was to hear this in a day, all the time, and just say, it's not about me. I do the best show that I can. I'm very consistent in my performance. I don't falter in it. And I learned to just accept it wasn't about me. So if you could put in your mindset the laws of attraction, visualize having a wonderful time at the party, that you're going to look great, he's going to look handsome, you're going to dance, you're going to have fun, you're going to have a great time. And if people are making you uncomfortable or people that you don't like, narcissists want to talk about themselves. Just as soon as they ask you about you, answer it quickly and ask about them. Switch the topic.
Right. Good point.
And they'll go tell, Susan is so fascinating. Meanwhile, you didn't say 2 words, and they said 15 minutes of bullshit. So if you could have fun with it, and if you're comfortable in your own skin, and I will tell you this, older souls are not comfortable in their own skin a lot. And I believe, and I've meditated this long and hard, I've never been comfortable in my own skin. And, you know, finally the answer came last month. We don't want to be here on earth to begin with. We were perfectly happy in spirit without a body. Now you send us back to earth school with a body. And we're not comfortable with this body. We're soul. We're spirit. We're heart. And our body feels kind of like it's not really what we are. So maybe try feeling a little more comfortable in your own skin.
Okay. And, very good advice. Thank you.
And
I really enjoyed what you said even before I was on the phone. I feel like so much of it applies.
And just have fun. And a lot of times I've always been very self-conscious. And it's like I've learned, you know what, everybody's self-conscious. Everybody feels uncomfortable. Really, they do. So if we can make other people feel relaxed and comfortable, then they bring out the best in them too. And, you know, if people are judging, you know, like in family, who has more money, who has this, who has that, I mean, you can feel all of that. Am I successful? Am I this? Am I that? And it just is all these insecurities that come up. But I can see you're going to have a wonderful time, by the way.
Okay. Well, I'm going to report to you and let you know.
Can you call us in and let us know? You had a great
time.
I sure will.
I'm looking forward to it now.
And smile a lot, laugh a lot, make jokes, and have a good time. And again, this is our like sort of junior high school thinking that we all have.
Isn't that true? Right. People who just didn't get beyond the age of 13, right?
Right. And then when you're near those people, they make you feel 13 again. It's like, oh, how do I? You know, even when we go to the Hamptons a lot, it's a very narcissistic place. The people can be extremely narcissistic, how much money, you know, and all of that. And sometimes I go, I can't believe that you can get sucked into that thinking if you stay there long enough. You know, so then it's time to get out of there. So know that everybody can be hooked into that thinking, but we have to work against it.
Okay. I really appreciate that.
Well, good luck to you, and thanks for sharing your little story with us today.
And thank you.
Bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Now, Nicole, do you know what I was talking about, not being comfortable in your own skin sometimes?
Yes, I do. What the heck just happened there, Cindy?
I don't know. The music just went on all by itself.
I don't know.
Isn't that bloggy talk radio?
I don't know how that happened or why it even happened, but it happened.
I don't know, but I listen to Sirius Radio a lot, and they have as many technical difficulties as we do.
Do
so
that good.
Now
I feel better about our situation here.
I mean, all you could do is, you remember I was talking, I was a live performer. You know, you learn to roll with whatever happened in the day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You know, you couldn't
rewind
the tape.
I'm actually going to take responsibility for that music there, Cindy, and I don't know why.
Okay,
it went on. But last time you and I spoke, we were rehashing something, you know, about my personal life. And somebody for me came through that had passed, and right before they came through, that music spontaneously just went on, and it was like a sign that they were there. Okay? My mother and I, while you were finishing up that last call, I had my mic muted, and we were taking a break because she had some news for me, and I was speaking ill of somebody in my family who's going through something right now, and suddenly, as soon as I grab the phone, the music goes on spontaneously again. So
I don't know. The universe is monitoring our words. Isn't it the truth? I mean, I'm always, always, always reprimanded from my spirit guides. Watch your words.
Yeah, well, this is like the third or the fourth time that I've been doing this show that I've opened up my mouth about something that all of a sudden somebody started to come through. It was most recently, it was when my friend died, and I was doubting myself and what I knew and what I felt, and boom, the music came on spontaneously right in the middle of our conversation. And just now I was speaking ill of somebody, going on and on, and then boom, right in the middle of the conversation, the music comes on.
Well, that's what I said. Sometimes we just really have to watch our words. I mean,
yeah,
we really do. I don't know who's ringing my doorbell because no one's coming here tonight.
I don't have a clue
who this could be. Oh, it's somebody, it's like some petition or something. I mean, come on. I can't answer the door. I mean,
don't,
you know,
answer the door.
I mean, now here's the doorbell. I have no one coming. I have phone readings tonight because I didn't want the doorbell to go off during this show. And, of course, it's going to go off like 15 times. And I'm going to have to hide. And,
wow.
How do you like that? And first of all, I'm home alone, and I would never open the door to a man when I'm home alone. I don't care what his petition might be for. You know?
It's for the safety of women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just saying, but, you know, you have to laugh. Music going, doorbells ringing.
Oh,
know?
My God. Oh, yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
Anyway,
okay, I'm
going
to have to look out for signs. I'm going to have to look out for signs now. But, yes, we are going to really stick with Long Island. And right now, we have Fran, who's coming up next. And Fran, her life, Cindy, is a mess. All right? She's been extremely, extremely stressed. She did call in a couple of months ago about what she should do about her boyfriend, you know, about whether or not she should stay with him, whether or not she should break up with him. The overall consensus here was that she needed to break up with him and break that cycle. And unfortunately, since she broke up with him, she's been trying to think positive, and she thinks that she's thinking positive, but for some reason, negative stuff keeps following her, and she's not exactly sure why. So maybe her cards will shed a little bit of light on Fran's situation.
Okay, now, Nicole, when we started the show today, have you seen so far we have two people with
uh-huh.
the, like, negativity creeping in? Can you
see
that?
I see it.
I know. It's a battle. Okay,
we started this conversation prior to even taking a single call or before the show even started, and it seems to be going along those lines. So, you know, hopefully today we'll get that message that we were talking about earlier across to everybody. So let's start by speaking to Fran on Long Island.
Hi, how are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Fran.
Hi, Fran. I know it's easy to feel stressed out, and I know breaking up with your boyfriend was hard, correct?
It was hard. I mean, after I was in a divorce, and I was with him for 3.5 years, and he just made me so happy, but he was not good. And I had, for my kids, I had to get away from him. And I've been thinking positive. I was doing good. And just everybody I meet, I'm feeling just negative. Everything was negative.
Well, I need to tell you, Fran, that obviously if what was channeled to me, I always meditate before I go on the show, what does God want out in the world today? It's that people are being really negative. So it's not you, per se. There's
right.
People are so negative lately. And, you know, sometimes the universe is just trying to show us it isn't helping any, is it? I mean, it doesn't make you feel better when you're near these people, does it?
No.
And does it make it? And I could see, first of all, you have a lot of anxiety in your cards. And women who have left a man, a husband, are often brought another man who isn't the knight in shining armor. He's the man that's there to get us from one man, but the other man has more of the same flaws that our husband
right.
may have had. But it's to get women to stand on their own 2 feet without a man. And because women have been brainwashed to believe any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating son of a bitch, is better than standing on their own 2 feet. So you're experiencing not only personal Fran fears, but collective thinking. And that's where the real, real terror lies. Because being in a world without a man can be a scary thing.
Right.
And there's some truth to it. You know, buy a car without a man, you get the worst deal. You know that you're scared because you're standing on your own 2 feet for the first time in your life. And it's scary.
That is
but
true.
God rewards women who don't run a prostitute archetype, which means we don't stay with a man for money. He rewards women who stand on their own 2 feet. Money looks better in the future. Your children look good. They will be fine in the future. It wasn't easy for you to walk away from this man, by the way.
No, it wasn't.
You felt like you perhaps turned your back on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got that good person guilt. You know, good people are plagued
yes.
with guilt. They always feel bad.
Yeah.
He's a person who can't be alone, by the way. So has he been contacting you?
He just contacted me the other day. And he just didn't want to get back with me and stuff like that, and I told him to stay away.
Good.
And it was hard. It was hard for me, but I had to do it. And I just been feeling depressed. I've been meeting men, and, you know, I just feeling very depressed.
Okay, and again, depression is a feeling of hopelessness. It's also it's also anger turned inward. For the most part, older souls are not mad at people who have raped, robbed them, and hurt them. They're mad at themselves because they allowed it too long. And part of the reason that, you know, we end up being stuck somewhere we didn't expect to is because we did stay too long, perhaps
right.
with men we should have left sooner.
Right.
And if you stayed with him another couple of years, it would keep the universe from bringing you in alignment with another soulmate. So letting him go was important. It is scary. Your cards are really very good, by the way. I did get the death card, which is always an ending of a relationship and anxiety across from it. Yeah, it's scary. And again, it's not your personal fears. It's when we get in the collective fears of humankind that the terror really, it really is frightening. But all human beings fear judgment, the way we were talking earlier in the show. They fear rejection. They fear abandonment. They're afraid to be on the alone. These are all human fears. Everybody has the same fears. Some people just have courage. Drop some courage. What you're lacking in these cards is courage.
Okay.
And it's doing things in spite of fears. You know, your trust, you know, God has given you a lot of different men to see that you can trust your judgment. It's not taking you a long time to figure out, hey, this is another loser. This is another narcissist. This is another, you know, sex addict. Are you trusting your judgment now?
Yes, yes, it's
okay,
true.
Okay, just the fact that it only takes you 5 minutes to figure it out doesn't mean the world's a more jaded place. It means you're smarter.
Right.
You're smarter. Didn't take you 20 years. Didn't take you 3.5 years. Took you 3.5 minutes. But 7 out of 10 people aren't all that great. That is the world. And when people are fighting that, you're fighting what the world is. If Jesus said he was going to be crucified 3 times, he said it 3 times, these people are going to crucify me. The 7 out of 10 people are going to kill me. I'm not here to change them. I'm here to change you good people. Get your blinders
off. But then
off.
I meet a nice guy, and I have no interest, and it's bothering me. It's upsetting me that
well, maybe
good.
Because he's not a soulmate. I mean,
right.
He might be a very nice man, and if we were still having an arranged marriage, he'd be a nice man to fit a plan, and if you didn't know what a soulmate was, maybe you would settle for that.
Right.
But it just means, you know, God is giving you a smorgasbord of men, toxic,
right. Yeah,
mediocre, a man to fit a plan if you can't be alone. But you do have to wait for a soulmate to be brought into alignment because you can't bring two at the same time. I mean, imagine if you had a perfect, perfect love affair and God brought another perfect one. Who would you choose? You wouldn't be able to comprehend that. So another one is being brought in alignment with you. Again, you need to test your judgment. You need to enjoy the process. We need to enjoy the adventure. Rather than get so negative about this. Yeah, there's a lot of people that suck. What's the newsflash with that?
Right.
That's the world. And when you meet someone who's not good, you know, get yourself out of there diplomatically. Get away from it as fast as you can. But don't be, oh, here's another one. I'm going to be all depressed. The world. Get over it. Over it. It's not about you. It's about them. Remember I told you that? What I learned, it is not about me. This is about them and their flaws and their behaviors, not yours. Again, you would want instant man here, but you have to stand on your own 2 feet. It's usually a minimum of 6 months to a year. God wants you to be happy with Fran. God wants you to be a lover to yourself. God wants you to know that you're not alone and that you're being guided. And, you know, loving yourself, are you coming to that place of self-love?
Right.
And it's important. And our self-esteem has to stop being influenced by other people. Like, you know, Susan before, her self-esteem is all battered right now because she's going to meet these people who are going to judge her.
Right.
No, our self-esteem has to be constant, whether people like us or don't like us, whether we have a job or we've won something or haven't won. We have to be happy and know that we're good. We're not determined by having a man beside us, whether we're happy or not. And, of course, having a soulmate is wonderful. I mean, I'm all for that. You know, I want people to have soulmate love. But we're better off with nothing than settling.
Right, okay.
And just know that there's really no negative in card that you have except a lot of anxiety. And, again, meditate on the fact, yeah, I'm alone. It's a little bit scary.
Okay.
You know, it's scary. But would you rather be stuck in your marriage where you were?
No.
Would you rather be with a man you couldn't trust?
No.
Again, you know, patience. Part of the karmic lessons are that we can't fix people. Have you learned that?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, we can't fix people. 2, patience.
Okay.
Perseverance. Endurance. Some certain situations are there for just teach us to be able to persevere. And that in itself is something. And when we get through these hard times, things that we thought we could never get through, the other end of life is a lot easier. It just starts to feel like I lived through that. I thought I never could. And you'll look back and admire your strengths. And again, you tend to be drawn to bad boys.
Yeah.
So again, bad boys are boys that need fixing. And maybe you'd rather be with a boy than a man, because that's what sometimes women don't want to be with the men who are going to boss us around. If you're with a boy, you have some upper hand. But try to meditate on why you're drawn to bad boys. What was your dad like?
He was not a bad boy. My father was a wonderful guy. And that's what, why I'm surprised that I go for the bad boys, because I had such a, I have a wonderful dad.
Right. So this is not this life. How about some of these men you're meeting are probably are past lives. When you had these men and you asked to meet them again, telling God, this time I know how to fix them. And
right.
God
yes,
laughed at us. Really?
Everybody.
God, well, God
yeah.
laughed at you. Really? Those son of a bitches we're not fixing in 10 more lifetimes. Knock yourself out. Realize you have chosen to meet a lot of people from past lives to sort of get it right. And what you needed to get it right is walking away. Your husband and your last man in your life were both men in past lives that you never walked away from. You made your bed and you lied in it. In this lifetime, you've made this karmically correct. You have left them.
Right.
So you're getting it right. It just feels a little bit lonely and a little bit scared. But why don't you just kind of feel like I felt like when I got a divorce, and I'm that girl. You know, I'm Marlo Thomas. I'm that girl. I'm single and I'm able to like be in command of my life. And enjoy that, being in command of your life a little bit.
Okay.
With, you know, it's very hard for women. They're used to men telling them sort of what to do. And again, you have a wonderful love coming. You can call in, let us know when it happens. Of course, it takes a little bit of time.
Okay, I will.
And,
thank you very much.
And I'm glad to hear you had a good dad. We love to hear that. There are
thank
good
you.
Men. See, right there, you verified for us. There are good men on the planet.
Yes.
Well,
all
good
right,
luck
thank
to
you
and calling again.
I will. Bye.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, who do we have next?
We actually have Elizabeth in Long Island also, and she actually said, now I'm not sure if I misunderstood her a little bit. She said that her job right now is undergoing some structural changes, so it's calling to a new structure, and she's not really sure how she feels about that, and she wants to know what your feelings about it are.
Okay, I don't blame her. She gets nervous. And
yeah, look. More anxiety, Cindy. Are we seeing a pattern?
I know. I know
we
about
are
that.
Well, about your, well, hopefully you will be able to help Elizabeth get over some of this anxiety.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you?
I know it's hard with restructuring. As a matter of fact, Nicole knows, you know, I have a one-act play called The Karma Bums, and it's set in a New Age place, and all of a sudden these New Age sort of metaphysical misfits get a new boss who knows nothing about this.
Right.
And the anxiety they're all feeling throughout it, the play is a riot, because this is life nowadays. People come in and restructure and take over, and they really don't know what they're doing half the time. And those people who are working get nervous.
Right. The company I work for says we can no longer work for them, but they're offering us jobs with an outsource company. That's what it is.
Okay. And again, all of a sudden you're going to be in a place that you didn't sign on for.
Exactly. And just I just have a lot of I'm really trying not to be anxious about it, but I just have like a lot of financial issues as it is. And
right.
I'm trying just to be calm and being positive, just like what you said, you know, in the beginning of the show. And,
of course, there's anticipatory anxiety. You don't know how bad this could be.
Yeah.
But, again, it looks as if this is a new job offer for you.
It is,
And a new opportunity. It doesn't look bad here, by the way. It just looks like there's a lot for you to learn and but it looks like you should be okay here. And again, to ensure things, do you have resumes out there just in case?
Well, that was my other problem, because I work from home, and my son is 10, and he has some, you know, disabilities, and that's why I continue to work from home. So if it wasn't for that, I'd be, like, sending out my resume to all the corporations, you know, to other jobs on Long Island. But I do it, I say to myself, I do it for him, because I really don't have anyone to watch him when he comes home from school.
And, of course, it's important for mothers to be there for their children. I mean, trying to have a creative career as a mother is really important, because children do need
yeah.
their moms. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
And I actually see this as being a good opportunity for you. You can still work from home,
really?
It appears. Have you talked about that with them? I mean,
yeah, it's the same. Like, in other words, the one corporation is saying that we have to transfer over to this outsourced company that I've never heard of, but we'll still have our same job, just not with the company.
Right. And again, this is America. You know, people are, and that's why I wrote my new play, because it's America's, like, all of a sudden somebody comes in and everything changes all the time. Whether, you know, it's a family that poor child also has a new stepfather, and he has a new boss mm-hmm. in the house. That's a lot about life, adjusting to the changes. But this, when is your birth date? Not the year, just the month and the day.
September 27th.
Okay, good, because you do have a birthday coming up. With your birthdays, this is a new source of money, a really happy year and a strong year ahead for you, including a soulmate. Do you have one now?
Yeah, I'm married.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Okay, good, because it shows that you should have a nice love-filled year, too, here. So you need to relax a little bit on it and accept what is, and instead of worrying about it so much, it
mm-hmm.
looks actually pretty good. Get in there, do your best, and see what happens. If you're not loving it, then you're going to have to figure out what you can do later on, but don't cut your nose off to spite your face.
Right.
You know, deal with it, yes them to death until, you know, and make your money. But it
okay.
doesn't look like it's going to be bad. It looks like they want to keep things the way they are. You're a very hardworking person. Nobody wants to
yeah.
lay you off. You do the work of 12 people. Nobody's going to fire you or lay you off.
It's,
I mean,
it's
some of the other people may get laid off, but they're not doing the work of 12 people. So
it's crazy,
you know,
what
that
I do.
It looks as if they're going to like you. I mean, they want the business to succeed. They don't. You know, those people who are doing what they'll do will stay. Other people will go. But it doesn't look bad for you. So, you know, again, relax on it. Accept what you can't change at this moment and do your best. But I'm not seeing that you have to be all that worried, by the way.
Okay.
So
financially, do you think my outlook looks a little bit better for my home?
Yeah, it actually looks
family?
Good. It actually looks good. You know, when your son gets a little bit older or bigger and things like that, you can also do other job opportunities too. But right now this is like what you'll be doing, but it actually looks good. Your husband worries a lot about money too. You know that.
He does, yeah, because we were considering doing the home improvement, but now with all this news, we're
I would
not
advise
sure.
you put the home improvement and the back burner right now. Not that you can't
okay.
afford it, but don't
right.
put that stress on you. Do you know what I'm
okay.
saying? Like, now we have the this loan, that. Kind of leave that for 6 months, see how the job goes. When you see that steady, you know, and good, you can do the home improvement. Just right now, you don't want to improve your home when you got a new job situation to be dealing with. It's too, each thing is stressful unto itself.
Right.
So, you know, try to take it a little bit slower with
right.
the home improvement. Now, I see you doing the home improvement in about a year, by the way.
Okay.
So, you know, nothing is bad in your cars. They're actually really pretty good. Try, you know, you work from the home, so you don't have to concern yourself too much with who these people are. You don't have to deal with them every day, every minute.
Oh, they're constantly monitoring my calls.
Who is
the
new
to, like,
company?
No, my old company.
Yeah, well, that's why the new company might be a little better that way, by the way.
Which I'm not afraid of that. You know, they can listen all they want trying to help customers.
You're not very interesting, by the way. They don't listen as much as you think they do. so,
last week they did.
Well, that was also because they're trying to, you know, impress the new people coming in with
mm-hmm.
what they're doing. But you seem to be very good with people. I don't think there's anybody objecting to what you're doing. So relax a little bit on that, too. And, you know, of course, working moms have, really a lot on their plate. And, of course, you know, you want to put food on your table. Do people out there listening have a little more sympathy for their parents that they used to judge, oh, they're all crazy, they worried about money? Yeah, it's scary when you have mouths to feed. It's a scary thing, life.
Well, the other thing was I'm trying to develop my psychic and healing abilities. I know I have, Reiki healing because my hands heat up, but I just don't know where to go with that. I know I have to probably go back into spiritual awareness classes here on Long Island.
And you can also read books.
I have been doing that.
Okay, because
but
sometimes when you are you not a good reader? Because reading is a good way.
No, I'm good at reading, but you know what? I found in the past, and I had to stop because of financial issues, when I'm around other people that are positive, like-minded, my abilities improve.
Right, like anything. And like you said,
it's so strange.
The like-minded, positive, you know, negativity is contagious, like a plague. And
it
positivity
is,
is contagious, too. And
and
what you're right, when you're near positive people, you definitely feel more positive. They shift your energy. But you can be doing that for yourself, too, you know. You can work on your own positive energies.
I have.
And again,
trying,
this job is a challenge. This new thing happening to you is a challenge for you to just be patient. Why don't we just see what happens? 90% of what we worry about never happens.
Right.
So God is asking you just go with the flow, do your best of your job.
Okay.
And you know, what will be. But if you're doing the best that you can, you're doing your part.
Right.
You're doing your homework. And if God wants you out of there because he's the devil or son of a bitch, God will get you out of the job and give you a better one. But if you're – so try not to think this is the only job in the universe, by the way. There are other jobs that you can work from the home for. And, again, I think it's – you need to get out a little bit, too, because you work from the home and you're a wife and you're a mother. You do need to perhaps, you know, 2 hours a week take a class that you're 2 hours a week – away from all of them, and it's just about Elizabeth.
I want to so bad, but it's like, you know, all these classes want, you know, a fee. And I start worrying, well, I could be putting this towards my son's school clothes, and I don't go.
Right, and again,
it's bad.
but again, you know, there are some that are, less expensive and, you know, try to, you know, do that. And sometimes, you know, whether your son has two more sweaters or you get a class, it's like sometimes you're going to have to put a little money for Elizabeth.
I know.
I know. You know what I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really not going to notice whether he had a little less clothes. But you'll notice that you took a class and you met other people and you've, you know, got out a little bit out of the house. Because working from the home can be hard.
Yeah, it can be.
You know, and especially because you see the laundry there, you're always doing two things at once. You're not just doing your work job. You know, you're doing, okay, this is the food is cooking, this is that. So getting a little bit out would be important for you. And, you know, I just see this is a very good year. Call in and let us know how these new people work out. Again, they don't plan on making any changes unless they need to.
Okay.
And, you know, working from the home, being monitored, that must make me a riot. You feel like you're on house arrest there? When they monitor you from home?
I just try to go with it. You know, I hear them fumbling when I'm trying to talk to a customer, fumbling with the recording information, and it's like I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe this, but I just continue talking and get
done.
Well,
it's uncomfortable for anybody
to
have people watching. Like, even when I'm doing, a reading, I prefer to read one-on-one because when you have another person, it feels like an audience. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's, easier to talk to people without an audience.
Right.
But, you know that the people on the other end know they're fumbling, too. So I'm sure that doesn't, what is the FBI listening to us? You know what I mean? Come on. But, you know, just do your job. And you have a very nice voice and a very contagious laugh. So I'm sure they're happy with you.
Oh,
and Elizabeth, remember something. That if you take this class, and I understand the whole, you know, concept of wanting to provide for your son and wanting to be, you know, to constantly, you know, be better in that department. You'll never know. If you're working out of your house and you're living in your house, nobody can, like Cindy just said, nobody can hear that infectious laugh. You know, only people that you're used to dealing with on a first, you know, on the phone, you know,
right.
And those are people that already know you. You know, you're not putting yourself in the world to be noticed. So who knows?
Right.
Maybe if you do take that class, somebody else might have an opportunity for you that would be better for you, that you could provide even more for your son. But you haven't met them yet because you're constantly in the house worrying about what you're going to maintain versus stepping outside of that box and imagining what could be waiting on the outside. You know, I mean, I fell into that same thing. I was working out of my house, and I was working, you know, in a house, you know, for almost a year, you know. And, you know, the one thing that my friends and, you know, even the people that I was working with, you know, were kind of like, you know, you have to put yourself out there that, you know, you can't be here forever. You know, you got to put yourself out there. And you know what? I wound up taking a job that I really wasn't too crazy about. But you know what? It was a job. And I was, you know, I was kind of like puttering through. But you know what? It put me out there. And just by that one little shift, even though it wasn't my ideal thing, I got the job that I'm at now, which I absolutely love. And I don't even feel like I go to work anymore. I just go and see a new extension of my family is the way that I feel about it. You know,
uh-huh.
I don't feel like I'm ever going to work, you know, and I haven't felt that way since day one. And I never ever dread going to work. When Sunday night rolls around, I love that the next day is Monday, you know, I mean,
yeah.
And that's what could be waiting for you. But you've got to get out of the house, and you've got to put yourself out there. So don't go quitting your job or anything right now. But you know what? It's just like you sacrifice for your son. It's okay for you to put some of that hard-earned money towards you, too. You are a worthwhile investment just like he is.
Yeah.
And again, it's hard to get older souls to spend money on themselves, and they're very martyrs. And
I still have that problem. I know.
Yeah, I know. And they put themselves at the bottom of the totem pole. But, you know, we give you permission to put a little money aside, and I promise that God will give that back to you somehow. When we spend money on something that God wants us to spend it on, it comes back. So, and again, you know, even as, you know, I don't want to take off from work. I have a lot of clients and this and that. Sometimes I just need to take off. It just has to be. But we were in the Hamptons eating out, and this girl was talking about a job interview she's going on, and believe it or not, it was for a company where I knew exactly who she was going to be interviewed by, and I knew everybody who worked there. And I said, "Why don't you mention my name to them? That they all love me; they'll automatically like you." And she ended up getting the job. And four people from that office called me for readings. Can we set up one? We need to set up one. So I took a day off, and there was four readings I got out of it. So I try to tell people sometimes you need to get out there and take time off, and God will reward you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, believe in yourself a little bit and know that your son will be happier if his mom is happy too.
Okay.
You know, he really will. And maybe you can use some of your healing on him, your Reiki on him.
I'm trying. I've been trying.
Well,
it's a whole other conversation.
Well, you're a very good mother. And call in and let us know how the job takeover happens, but we have to get used to this in America. Every 3 to 5 years, there's going to be a shakeup. That's life here.
Yeah, you'll probably hear about it on News 12 anyway, but I will call back.
I'm going to hear about it at News 12, huh?
Last week, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we knew it first. But good luck. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, everybody's, you know, we have such nice people on the call into the
I
show,
know.
Don't we?
Yes, we
you know.
Do. And, you know, we've had, you know, and I like the fact that everybody kind of had similar stuff going on tonight. And actually, Cindy, even though we only have 6 minutes left, we're gonna pop somebody on the air really quick. Because last week we were talking to Jean, and I was busting Jean's shoes about me not getting an Afghan. And guess what? I got a very, very lovely text message from Jean when I was away last weekend saying how she worked nights and she worked her little fanny off to get me an Afghan. And we are actually meeting up tomorrow so she can give me this present.
Oh,
so,
you're going to love it.
On the air to all of our supporters and everything, I want to thank Jean. Okay, because, you know, I was, like I said, I was busting shoes. She did not need to do that for me. And it just goes to show you that this woman has got a heart of gold, and she did it anyway. So, hello, Jean.
Hello, it's all done.
I can't believe how fast you work, girlfriend.
And it's the color you want.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Jean, you are amazing. You are absolutely amazing.
I have nothing else to do in my life, so why not?
Yes, you do.
Hey,
you work
very hard
at your new lousy
she
job,
that.
Huh?
You look at how quickly she did that. She could have been selling these things, I'm telling you.
No, because you can't get the money for it.
No.
You don't think?
No, because...
I sell my baby stuff, not this stuff.
Because when you see the size of it and the amounts of work in it,
I can't wait to see it. I was so tempted to ask Jean for a picture of it, Cindy, but I didn't want to spoil the surprise.
I'll
send you a picture in 5 minutes of Cindy.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. I don't want to see it.
She wants it's you're going to just be so happy with this. We love it. It's on our bed.
I'm sure that I am.
Love it. And TJ couldn't believe it. He goes, your client made this? It's like, really?
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see it. I cannot wait, but you know what? Like I said, you know, Jean, you've got a heart of gold, honey. You have got a heart of gold. Thank you so very much.
No problem.
So, Jean, tell me you're not loving your new job, huh?
I feel like I'm in jail.
Oh, I know. Well, again, I know they, you know, we're talking about how they monitor and watch over. We know it's like
the bell goes off at 9:30, it's break. The bell goes off at noon, it's lunch. You have your own private lockbox when you walk in the morning. It looks like mailboxes, like P.O. boxes. You put your phone in, take the key, and you can go get your phone at break.
You know, but I think it's because maybe you got to look at their viewpoint. A lot of people are abusing their phones on work.
I understand that, but it's just also unfriendly, cold. No one speaks to each other. I made friends with one lady, but she's in the back, an older Italian lady. But I'm just saying, it's a very nasty office.
Well, it's funny because
job. Where are you working?
It's called RiveTech, Aerospace and West Babylon.
People are very negative.
Like
people, remember we were talking about that negativity?
Well, that's what I'm laughing. I'm like listening to the whole radio show. Like, how am I going to get out of this negativity when I'm in it all day?
Well, the only thing, you know, it's a trick.
You be that beacon of light, Jean. You got to be that beacon of light.
That's why I crochet. It keeps me going.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was a children's entertainer, sometimes I would say I'm going into the Addams family. I mean, that was such a dysfunctional family. Everybody hated each other. Now I have to entertain these people, and I'm an empath. The first couple of years, I didn't know why I would feel this, oh, my God, when I was there, because I would feel all the energy. Then I would realize it's my job to change that energy. And by the time I left, people were singing, dancing, and having a good time. It's possible to change the energy, and at least if you can't change it, block it.
Well, that's what it is. I get up in a positive attitude. I'm like, it's another day. Thank God I'm alive. Let's go do this, you know. You're there for a reason. You might not know what the reason is, but it'll come one day, and you'll get out of there. However, we get myself out of there, I will get myself out of there.
Yes, and of course, and that's what you need to know. This is like not your forever gig. You know, it's for now. But again, the trick is we can all be happy when we're near everybody happy. The trick is a little bit, you know, being happy no matter what. And again, try not to let them get to you.
I don't. You know, like I said, I go in, I do my stuff, I do what I have to do, and I just think of it as a stepping stone to something better.
Right, but you know, the thing about it is, I don't understand. You know, people hate their jobs, and then they're miserable there. So you don't want to be where people hate their job. You heard Nicole loves her job. When people like their job, they tend to be happier. I mean, I know you did, but part of it is like people don't want to work nowadays. They don't think they have to work. So they go there with an attitude that, ugh, I have to do this. This is not what I want to do. I want to be doing something else. Instead of, yeah, you're here to work, do your job, be happy, you know. But this is not the proper atmosphere for you. With your other job, it was a little more fun anyway, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's great fun. But this one, I'm just lost.
And, believe me, you won't be there for long. You putting your resumes out there?
I put my resumes out. I went to two. I'm even tempted to do temp to hire at this point.
Yeah, you could do that too, because just don't stay there too unhappy if you're really feeling like it's not.
Oh, it's terrible.
You know, and again, we don't have to sell our soul for money. If it's making you miserable, if it's going to, you know, get yourself out of there, but, you know, try to make sure you have something first, though.
I can't leave without having something first.
Good, because I tell people, as bad as a job is, it's worse to be worrying how you're going to eat.
I was off for 21 weeks. I don't have a choice.
Yeah, and I try to tell people, you know, just know who you are. So everybody, you know, thinks, I can't stand it. I'm just going to quit the job. I go, really? You're going to be calling me 2 weeks from now that you're frantic because you don't have any money. So, you know, it is what it is, these things. But I just see very good things for you. And, again, God wants you to go somewhere else because you got to meet that man, too. So,
yeah.
You know, you're not going to meet anybody in this place.
Oh, yeah, well, the idiot texted me and asked me how I knew he was having surgery, and I wouldn't tell him, so he's pissed.
Oh, he what does he think, you're stalking him?
Yeah. And his best friend told me, and I'm not saying who told him. Told me.
Wow.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah, don't mention how you know. It won't go over big.
No, I will never.
Won't go over big. Well, we're at the end of our show, and I want to thank Jean for, like, making Nicole an afghan, because it's going to keep her warm all winter.
It's sitting right here in the shopping bag for tomorrow. So.
Wow.
Oh, my God, I can't wait to see it.
And you have to tell us how much you love it next week.
Oh, my God. You know what, Cindy? I'll do one better for you. I will send you a pic of it, and you can post it. I will share a picture on Facebook with you, and you can post it so everybody can see how cool it is.
Wow. And you're just going to love it. And thank you, Jean, so much for that, because, Nicole, you know, you make Nicole and I very happy. You know?
Thank you. You keep me sane right now, honestly.
Well,
you know what? And you, like, restored, you in your very little way, you restored, you know, like, faith in humanity here, so.
Right, and I'll tell you, in life, it's a little help with our friends, and 30% of people are genuinely good, and when we're on the right path, God brings the 30% of genuinely good people into our existence, and that's what we're all here to just remind, there are good people. You know,
there still are.
So for all the rotten rats there are out there, they're still good people.
Yep.
And that's where sometimes we start feeling like everybody sucks. No, not everybody.
I'll take a picture of Nicole tomorrow night because I guarantee she's going to be crying.
Oh, good. Please take a picture of her.
Oh, my God. I'll make sure that I put on waterproof makeup.
Well, good luck to everybody, and we'll speak next week.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.